So about half of the people who live on the planet are females, and probably more than half of those at some stage in their life would like to lose weight or would like to know how to lose weight or are going to talk to somebody about losing weight. It's a big hot topic for women, weight loss. So how do we know what works, what never will work? And if we think it's going to work, how do we know? And why would it work? Some really great questions to ask. The challenge that we've got as women, and I am a woman, so these are all my challenges. The research shows really clearly that as women, we are obviously more emotional than men. Men's brains tend to think very logically. We think emotionally. One of the things that the research shows very clearly when it comes to advertising and marketing is that women are easily influenced. So if you put in front of us a celebrity or an athlete or somebody who's achieved something and they're telling us that we should take this, drink this, stand on this, do this, we tend to be easily influenced. Once we've been influenced, women become very opinionated. And again, that's by research study done on women who are in the workplace, women who are in the school teaching arena, where when you have an opinion as a woman, very difficult to change your mind once that idea's been set in your mind. The next thing we have as a challenge as women for losing weight and staying lean for a lifetime is that most women are anti-lifting. They don't want to lift heavy things. They don't want to go to the gym and do weights. It seems that women are all about doing huffy puffy exercise and the weightlifting is for men. So we have a challenge there as women because we've got in our mindset that lifting will make us big and bulky, which of course is a challenge when it comes to weight loss. And then interestingly, across the Western world, in a Western environment, buying decisions are 74% made by women. So if we're emotional, we're easily influenced, we're opinionated, and we don't like to lift heavy things because we're scared of getting bigger, we're the people who make the buying decision. So the things that we buy will of course be bought predominantly emotionally. We'll buy things because we've been easily influenced. We'll buy things because we have a strong opinion about something. And we will or won't buy an exercise program depending on whether or not it's got weightlifting attached to it because we don't want to get bigger. So there's some of the challenges involved in weight loss across the board for everybody as a fitness professional, as a doctor, as a nutritionist, as a mum, as a footy coach, as an athletic coach, doesn't matter. If we want to help women lose weight, there's some of the challenges that we have. So if we have just a little bit of a closer look at emotional, for example. When you look at why women eat, we tend to eat for different reasons to men. Men will say, yes, I eat because I'm hungry. Now, this is all generalization, but overall, we need to be really aware of this if we're going to be training women or wanting to help women lose weight permanently and be in great shape. So it tends to be that if you ask a woman, why do you eat? Yes, she eats if she's hungry, but she'll also eat if she's angry, if she's emotional, if she's upset with her friend. She'll eat because she's happy. She'll eat because a great thing's happened and it's a special event. She'll eat because she's bored. She'll eat because she's stressed. So we eat for more emotional reasons than logical reasons. Same as the reasons we decide not to exercise. So logically, a man may say, well, it's raining, I'm going to get wet, but I'm going to get sweaty anyway, so I'm going to go run. But a woman might say, well, I don't feel very good, or I've had a bad day, or I'll do it tomorrow because it's just not the right time. And we go into our emotional brain and say, oh, I just don't want to do this today. So we have different reasons for not exercising. Then we do care more or most about who. And across the board, again, the research shares with us that men tend to be more business focused, more career focused, more sporting focused, even more mate focused. Whereas women, we care about our kids, we care about our family, we care about our friends. We care more about or most about our family and friends and tend to care less about ourselves. So that tends not to be logical. When you're emotional, oh, I want people to, which leads to the next one, which is I care what people think of me. So I want people to think I'm a good mother or a good sister or a good wife. So when you combine those two together, which again are emotion, they're feelings rather than logical reasons for doing things. So we care more about our family. So I put our family first rather than our healthy eating plan and our exercise plan. And we care what other people think of us. So, you know, that woman, she's always going to the gym rather than looking after her children. So there's a real stigma attached to being a good mother because we care what people think of us. There tends to be a high level of guilt related to eating food, high level level of guilt to not exercising. Women tend to have more eating disorders. Now, this is again a generalization because we don't really know. Men don't talk about it so much. But women definitely emotionally talk about, I feel guilty because I broke my diet, or I feel guilty because I didn't go to the gym this week. And the challenge of being disordered in our eating patterns, where we feel guilty, which means then we either eat too much, binge eat, or we don't eat at all because we want to be in control of our emotions, which of course is all emotional. And then when it comes to our weight and our size and our body fat percentage, we tend to be more aware of what it should be. So I should be a size 10, or I should be 60 kilos, or I should have 20% body fat or less. And then we get emotional again if we're not the right size, the right weight, the right body fat percentage. And we tend to weigh ourselves more often. We tend to get our body fat percentage tested more often if we've got that available to us. We're very aware of our size, right down to the point where I'm not going to buy that dress or that pair of jeans, even though they look amazing on me and make me look fantastic, but the size is on the tag is too big, so I'm not going to buy them, which of course is not logical. It's an emotional thing. So women, of course, we are more emotional overall, more emotional beings. Now, once again, I'm generalizing, but let's just be aware that that's some of the things that we are working with and wanting to work with to get the best result. So how do we do that when we're talking about an emotional brain rather than a logical one? When we have a closer look at being easily influenced, and there's just a couple of classic examples. Every research study on the planet that's been done by a university or a recognised facility proves that anti-wrinkle cream doesn't work. We spend literally, and $1 billion a year just in North America alone on anti-wrinkle cream for women, but every research study shows that it doesn't work. But because we're easily influenced, and we see the ads on television, and they say that 100 out of 100 women, 96 women saw visible results from this anti-wrinkle cream, then we're easily influenced and we go buy it anyway. Cellulite cream's another classic. Every research study on the planet and every person that's involved in fat loss or the scientific removal of fat from the body, or understanding how fat gets in and out of the body, will explain that there's no such thing as cellulite. It's even a made-up term. It's not a physiological term. It's the fat that gets pocketed between the bands that hold our skin to our muscle. And in women, they're closer together than men. So we get a little bit of that lumpy effect, that orange peel cottage cheese effect. Well, women in North America are alone spend $60 million a year just on cellulite cream. So rubbing a cream on a part of their body, hoping that the fat will burn away. And once again, easily influenced, if an athlete or a famous person or a movie star recommends that cream, we then go and buy it. And then they say 96 out of 100 women say they saw visible results from using this cellulite cream. So once again, women tend to be more easily influenced. You'll often hear men say, oh, that's just rubbish, and women buy it anyway. Again, I'm generalizing, but we need to be aware of this, because $60 million and $1 billion is a big example of how easily influenced we are. Obviously, the largest purchasers of TV quick fix exercise equipment are women. So all the bits and pieces of stuff that end up under the bed in the cupboard or at the cash converters tend to be bought by women. Remember that 74% of buying decisions in the Western world are made by women, which means that 74% of those pieces of equipment are bought by women. We're easily influenced when there's 20 people saying, I tried this rolly ball, or I tried this stepping machine, or I tried this ab machine and I got visible results in a short period of time. We go, oh wow, what if it works? So we buy it. Plastic surgery, that's our quick fix. We're easily influenced when we see women who have had plastic surgery, or we think they've had plastic surgery, or any of the cosmetic fixes such as Botox or fillers, or any of the anti-aging products that are available from the beauty industry. We see that as a really good quick fix. So a lot of women, rather than exercising, would like to have liposuction, or rather than doing some strength training to have strong muscles, would like to have a breast implant, for example. So we're easily influenced into a quick fix rather than a do the hard work. We're obviously easily influenced by famous and celebrity people's advice. We read magazines more than men. We look at beauty products more than men do. And if they've been endorsed by a famous person or a celebrity, we tend to take more interest, and we're easily influenced if it comes from a famous person. If our best friend, the person we care about, most in the world, did it, we then become easily influenced by her. So if she tried a diet, or she's trying a diet, or she's going to the gym, or she's working on some kind of pill, powder or potion, if she's doing it and she's our best friend, then we are easily influenced by the people in our lives. The other thing that's interesting is that the research done on before and after photos shows that women are much more influenced by before and after photos. And just so you know, yes, they're often doctored. In fact, most of the time they are. And it's embarrassing how many examples I can give you of those doctored photos. Now, of course, they all aren't. And there's lots of people who have lost a lot of weight and they've got before and after photos. But we as women are very easily influenced by, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. So what did she do? Or she took that pill and potion and that's what happened to her, so that must be able to happen to me. So yes, we're easily influenced. And then we hope that, oh, what if it works? What if the cellulite cream works? What if the anti-wrinkle cream works? What if the Botox works? What if it works for my friend and she gets thin and I don't? Or what if it works for all of those women trying that program and I don't try it and they lose weight and I don't? So there's a lot of hope involved there. So yes, we're easily influenced. Then once we're influenced, we become very opinionated as women. If I believe that it is right, and another word that comes to mind is stubborn, and if you've ever had anything to do with a strong woman, if we believe it, we're right. And if we've tried it and it worked, we're definitely right. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that it worked. If it didn't work but we feel stupid because we tried it, we'll still defend it, which is an interesting thing to take note of. Just because we tried it doesn't mean that it worked, but we often still are very opinionated about whether it's right or wrong. For example, I go on a diet, I lose weight. So I tried it once, but I put the weight back on and put more back on. But because I lost weight once on that diet, I believe that it's the right diet because I tried it. It's my opinion now. So it's a strong opinion. If I see that it worked for a famous woman or an athlete and I've got a fairly strong streak towards feminism, I'll say that it's right. So if it worked for that celebrity woman or that celebrity athlete or for that person, it must be right. Then, of course, if it worked for my friend or my sister or my mum, so somebody that I'm close to, so if my mum tried it and it worked, then I'll get opinionated. And I'll say, look, it worked for my mother, it worked for my friend. The other challenge we've got, because we are opinionated as women and we're strong and we're stubborn, we're often not open to change, which means it's difficult if a new idea comes along, if it's not endorsed by a famous person or an athlete, and we're really strongly opinionated about something, we're often not open to learning or open to changing our opinion. So they're just some of the things to deal with as far as emotions go with women. Then, of course, there's a whole big thing about I don't want to lift weights because I'll get too big, I'll get bulky, it's not feminine, going to the gym takes too long, you've got to go 7 days a week or 5 days a week like the blokes do, and it's an intimidating environment and it's smelly and it's dirty and it's ugly and I don't like it. Which of course then says that we're ignorant to the benefits and the results of lifting heavy things. So that is a big stigma, a big challenge when it comes to helping women lose weight. Because if we want them to lose weight and be strong, have strong bones and muscles long term, then we need to be chatting about the benefits of strength training. But there is a big anti-lifting feeling for most women, particularly if they've tried it before and it didn't work for them, or they see pictures of really big women and they just go, oh, I don't want to look like that. And or they see pictures of really thin women who obviously don't do any strength training and talk about the fact, because remember, we're easily influenced. So if a woman says, oh, I got this beautiful body from dieting, or I got this beautiful body from doing some form of other exercise program that doesn't involve overloading my muscles, then of course I believe her because I'm easily influenced. So then the next one there is, because we make 74% of the buying decisions, we're now really challenged with everything that happens in our life, because what we buy, what we eat, what we do, all the buying decisions, how do they then affect our partner, our family? Importantly, how do they affect our kids? And really importantly, as women, how does it affect our little girls? So if we're buying diet food, if we're buying pills and potions to lose weight, if we're buying cellulite creams and anti-wrinkle creams, if we're believing what the latest famous celebrities talking about, and our little girls hear us say that, remember, our girls don't tend to even listen to what we say. They watch what we do. If we are constantly weighing ourselves or going on the latest fad diet that's just come up and we're talking about it all the time, then of course everybody in our life is affected by that. If we started a new diet, a lot of families will tell you, well, mum's on a diet, so we've all got to eat that way. Or mum's gone vegan, vegetarian, so none of us are eating meat. Or mum's on a low-carb diet, so there's no bread in the house. So our buying decisions as women also affect our family, obviously our partner, and certainly affect our kids. But then how does it affect our long-term attitudes about food and exercise? Because as women, why do we think the way we do? Why do we believe a certain eating plan is the best way? Or why do we believe a certain exercise plan is the best way to do it? Was that because that's what we heard from our mother? And that's an interesting thing that a lot of women will tell you, that the influence in their life came from another woman. They're the challenges when it comes to helping women. If we really want to help women lose weight long term and be healthy, fit and strong, then we've got to ask some different questions. So what actually works? What doesn't work? And how do we communicate effectively specifically to women? So from woman to woman and from man to woman. So if you are a male fitness professional or a male athletic coach or even a male boss and you want to communicate effectively because you want the people on your team in your life, the women in your life, to be healthy, fit and strong and feel good about themselves, how do we communicate effectively? So the big suggestion is that we ask women, and as women, we take full responsibility for our attitude, our weight, our own fitness, our own health, and our own energy levels. Because we're so easily influenced, we tend to keep chopping and changing and going with the current trend. So we do what our personal trainer tells us to do. We do what the latest internet fitness guru tells us to do. We do what the latest famous person's doing. And then if it doesn't work, we can blame them. We can say, well, I tried that diet, it didn't work, and I tried that personal trainer, it didn't work. I went to that gym and it didn't work. Well, ultimately, how do we get women as, and I'm a woman, so I have to ask myself these same questions every single day. What do I have to do to make sure that I'm taking full responsibility for my attitude towards my body, which is a big one for women? There tends to be a lot more body hating when it comes to women than to men. And just as an interesting side note, the percentages of women in the world that are overweight compared to men, there are more overweight men. However, if you ask women, are you overweight, there are more women who believe they're overweight even though they're not. So that's all about attitude and emotion, of course. Then if I'm going to take responsibility for how much I weigh and how fit I am and how strong I am and how much energy I've got, and then overall how healthy I am, maybe there's some questions that we need to ask. So the following questions are not, I ask them every day because I'm a woman and it's to keep me on track. If you are a fitness professional, what a great idea to perhaps share these questions with your clients, with your female clients. And if you're a male, perhaps these are great questions to ask the females in your life rather than telling them what to do. And as a very important note, please take note, none of us like to be told what to do, but particularly women. We like to make up our own minds. Now, there's a lot of women who may say to you, look, just tell me what to eat and I'll stick to it. And we may even do that until the next guru comes along or the next expert comes along or the next celebrity diet comes along, and then we change because we're not taking full responsibility for our own health and our own weight. So here's some great questions that might be a daily question to ask to keep us on track. So as a woman, do I actually want to have strong bones and strong muscles so that I can stay strong and do that for the rest of my life? Obviously, as women, we live longer than men, but our quality of life is poor. We become inactive very quickly. And that's been suggested because we stop, or we never do lift heavy things, and we stop moving around because men tend to be more active and tend to do more of the lifting. So the question to ask myself as a woman is, do I actually want to have strong bones and muscles so I can have quality of life long term and not be an old lady who's got to walk in a walking frame or be in a wheelchair or have somebody look after me as I get older? Another great question is, do I actually want to be strong? Do I want to have a strong mind, strong muscles and strong bones so that I can remain active? And obviously there's this big challenge with Alzheimer's, with dementia. as both men and women, this is a very debilitating disease. So if I want to have a strong mind, I obviously have to overload my mind, not just my body. So what do I need to do? And from an exercise point of view, from a strength training point of view, one of the great things to overload your headspace to keep your mind strong is to keep putting it under pressure and pushing it. So it's a great question to ask, do I actually want to have a strong mind? Then there's the question, do I want to look good, of course, and feel young for the rest of my life? There's one thing, as women, we live longer, but do I actually want to feel young? And when you have a look now that some of the records are being broken for women running half marathons and full marathons after the age of 80, gold medal winner at the Masters Games, a lady was 101. Obviously, you can. It's not just about living a long time. It's about actually feeling young the whole time. And now there's a whole group of women, like me, for example, that have been exercising all of our lives, where we're 50 plus and we still feel the same as when we were 20, because we've got strong muscles and strong bones and we feel good. So there's a great question to ask yourself every day: do I want to look and feel young for the rest of my life? And then I think these are really important questions. As women, I need to ask myself: do I actually want to have a lean body for my lifetime? And you might not want to. Maybe you can't be bothered. You think it's all too hard. But as fitness professionals, what if we could provide a way for people to be able to be lean for a long time without having to go to the gym for hours and hours? So the question there, though, is for every woman, do I actually want to have a lean body for the rest of my life? Or the reverse, do I want to get fat? Then do I want to have a fast metabolism? Because obviously, if I'm burning calories fast, then I will stay lean for the rest of my life. So it's a great question to ask. Do I actually want to have a body that burns calories fast? And then do I want to be at my best weight, my best size, my best energy levels for the rest of my life? Or am I happy to get old, put on weight and become tired and lethargic? I think they're great questions. Now, here's another question. And we put it in that when you're a fitness professional, we put it into this terminology. If you were your own high performance exercise and eating coach and you wanted to stay healthy, fit and strong for a lifetime as a woman, what do you think would be five things that will guarantee that you are not lean and strong for the rest of your life? So what are some of the things, if you do them, you'll actually get old really fast and you'll be weak and you'll get fat? And you might lead people into the answer, but I honestly believe that as women, because we're really smart, we know that if we've got a negative attitude, if we become inactive, if we're constantly dieting and we're slowing down our metabolism, if we're not fit and we're not strong, then of course we're not going to be lean and healthy and fit for the rest of our lives. So if I ask the question, what are the things that are going to stop me from being healthy, fit and strong, it would be I'd have a negative attitude, I'd be inactive, I'd be constantly dieting, I'd be unfit and I'd be weak. So I need to remind myself what happens if I don't look after myself, because I will be those things. And then the next question is, so if I am my own high performance coach, what would I be doing to have a strong mind, strong muscles and strong bones for the rest of my life? What would I actually need to do? The simple thing is this: ask myself as a woman, what has not worked for me long term? So I might have been on a stack of different diets, tried a stack of different exercise programs, joined a whole heap of different gyms and tried a whole heap of personal trainers. But if I'm not lean, fit, healthy and strong right now, it has not worked for me long term. And I can argue it and I can have an opinion about it and I can tell you that I tried this particular thing. But there's these four great questions that we always ask. When I jump out of bed in the morning with energy and enthusiasm, do I maintain that for my whole day? So the first question is about energy. Do I have energy, enthusiasm, excitement for my day? The second question is, am I performing at a top level at everything that I'm doing in my life? Number three, am I happy with what I see in the mirror? And number four, am I getting the results that I want from whatever it is that I'm doing at the moment? And if the answer is no, then whatever I'm doing is not working long term. So it doesn't matter how opinionated I am about a particular program, it hasn't worked. So then the next question to ask is, what actually has worked for me long term? Is there anything I've done that if I am jumping out of bed with energy and enthusiasm, and if I am performing at a top level, and if I do love what I see in the mirror, and if I do get the results I want from my exercise program and my eating plan, then obviously this is working for me. So I don't need to be susceptible easily influenced, gullible by the stuff that I see on television, because what I'm doing right now is working for me. And that's something that some women can be really proud of, rather than, oh, you know, I've got to try the latest fad diet or the latest pill and potion. Hey, look at you. You're in great shape and you've got heaps of energy and you've been the same size and the same weight and the same energy level for such a long time. Obviously, whatever you're doing is working for you. And then going forward, so let's just say that all of those things are in place, but will that work for me when I'm 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? And then how and why? Whatever I'm doing now, how's it working and why is it working? Again, great questions to have women answer for themselves, not be told what to do. So the question now is, what is your vision? As a woman, have I chosen a size, a weight, an energy level that I'm really happy with, and I've decided that I want to be that for the rest of my life? And a lot of women don't ever ask themselves that question. In fact, most people don't. What is my ideal size, my ideal weight? How do I want to feel on a day-to-day basis? And will I decide to do that for the rest of my life? So what's my vision for my body, which is a really great question. And then what kind of attitude am I going to have? So great questions to ask. Am I positive or negative on a day-to-day basis? If I am negative, do I need to change and become more positive? Do I do things for a positive or negative reason? So a lot of women exercise, but they hate it. And they're going out to the gym or they're going out for a run or to do their exercise session. It's, oh, I've got to go and exercise. I absolutely hate it. Which, by the way, influences our children, our partner, and our family. Versus, I can't wait to go and do my exercise session. I'm really excited about this healthy salad I'm eating. I can't wait to have this big glass of water because it's going to make me feel great, give me heaps of energy, and make me look good when I look in the mirror. So do I do the things I'm doing for a positive or negative reason? Great question. And then as a woman, I always ask myself this, am I open to learning or do I know that already? Because if I don't want to get caught up in the being easily influenced and then being highly opinionated about somebody else's opinion, am I open to learning? And that's, for me, the really important thing. Why do I believe the things that I do, and do I have the right reason for believing them? And if somebody teaches me something that I believe will be of value to me, am I open to changing? So again, great question. And then the next question is, how do I fuel my body? If I was my own high performance eating coach, what advice would I give myself about what I need to eat so that I've got heaps of energy and I can perform at a top level, look great in the mirror, and jump out of bed with energy and enthusiasm every day? So what do I actually choose to eat? And that's one of the great questions I always ask, whether it's a man or a woman. Everything you've ever eaten, who decided that you should eat it? When you've ever eaten something, who was always there? Has anyone ever snuck into your house at night, opened your mouth and forced you to eat food while you were sleeping? So they're great questions to ask to get us to be more responsible for our own weight, our own health, our own well-being. From a fitness point of view, a great question is, do I actually want to get fit? Is it important to me? Do I want to be fit and stay fit? And then what are the benefits of being fit? If I was my own high performance fitness coach, do I want to have a body that's lean and burns fat fast? How do I get fit? How long does it take? What are my excuses versus my consequences and results for being fit? And the really important thing as fitness professionals and anybody that's giving advice about fitness is to stick with the basics. How do I get fit? The answer is, it's not arguable. The only way to get fit is to get puffed. And everybody gets puffed really quickly. Whether you're fit or unfit, you get puffed really quickly. The only difference is when you're unfit, it takes a little bit longer to recover, or a lot longer to recover. But to get fit, I've got to get puffed. And then, of course, my heart and lungs are blind. They don't know whether I'm boxing or swimming or running up and down the hallway, vacuuming fast, polishing the car fast. It doesn't matter as long as I'm getting puffed. So how do I get fit? I've got to get puffed. How long does it take? About 10, 15 seconds at the most. So I've got no excuses. And if I do have excuses, then what's the consequence of my excuse? I'll have a slow metabolism. I'll have a body that's more susceptible to getting fat and less likely to be lean. Versus if I am fit, I will actually turn my body into a fat-burning machine. My respiratory quotient will prefer to burn fat rather than any other macronutrient. And then my result will be that I have a body that even at rest is burning fat faster. So I'm less likely to be fat for the rest of my life. I'm more likely to be lean. So great questions to ask about fitness. And then, of course, the questions about strength. Do I actually want to get strong? Do I want to be strong? Do I want to stay strong for the rest of my life? Do I want a lean, strong body that burns fat fast? And of course, muscles are the engine of the body. And that's where women get all caught up in, I'm going to get big muscles and I'm going to look big and I'm going to look ugly and all those funny things that we come up with. The bottom line is this. And I have to ask myself this question every day. If I actually want to be strong, what makes me strong? How do I get strong? Muscles pulling on bones keeps my bones strong. The only way to get my muscles to pull on my bones is to overload my muscles. So if I'm lifting a weight that's easy, I'm not going to get stronger. So if I want to get stronger, I've got to lift heavier than what I'm capable of. And that doesn't take very long, because if I say to you, how many of those can you do? You might be able to do 20 at the most if you've got a half decent weight. And if you can do more than 20, obviously the weight's not heavy enough. So whether you are lifting your own children, a suitcase, a log, a tire, a dumbbell, a barbell, a box, it doesn't matter. As long as you're overloading every single muscle in your body, then you will get strong. And how long does it take? Well, the beautiful thing about the human body, as we know, is that it's capable of pushing things with the movement patterns. There's only three: push things with your upper body, pull things with your upper body, and your legs can lower your body down to the ground, down to the chair, down to the toilet, down to the car seat and back. So if I overload my body and I use as many muscles as possible in each exercise, so big muscles, big muscle groups, use the as many muscles as possible, so big exercises, I'm going to get big results. The beautiful thing about when you do big exercises, the small muscles get worked even harder than the big ones, so everything works together. So how long does it take to get strong? You'll see noticeable results as a woman really quickly, because most of us, if we haven't been lifting heavy things, are quite weak. So you get strong really quickly. How do you stay strong? By maintaining your strength, which of course, do a push exercise, a pull exercise, and a leg exercise, and you'll keep your whole body strong. And how long does that take? Well, how long does it take to do somewhere between 6 and 20 of each exercise? You're talking about a strength training program for your entire body that can take as little as 3 minutes. So we're talking about getting puffed a few times a day, getting strong in an exercise program that takes about 3 minutes, which you probably only have to do once a week. So how long does it take to be healthy, fit and strong? How little time do I need to invest each week to keep my metabolism fast, my mind, my bones and my muscles strong? And just as an I'm not going to argue my point from my perspective, because that's irrelevant. But I've got to tell you, it's really exciting as a 50-year-plus woman to be healthy, fit and strong, to have strong muscles, to be really fit. And my exercise program is 3 or 4 sprints every day, get puffed at least 3 or 4 times every day, and a strength training program that I do some push-ups and some chin-ups and some squats. In basic terminology, that's push with my upper body, pull with my upper body, and use all the muscles in my legs. And that takes about 3.5 minutes. And I've been the same weight, the same size, and the same energy level pretty much since I was 13 years of age. So I will strongly argue from the extreme, that's that opinionated woman in me that says, rather than how much do we have to do as women, because we've always got to be caring about our kids and caring about our family and caring about everybody else other than ourselves, I'll finish with that beautiful analogy. When you are on a plane and the air stewards say, in the case of an emergency, the oxygen mask will drop out of the ceiling, please fit your oxygen mask first so that you can then help your children, your family, your friends, the other people on the plane. So as women, we tend to look after everybody else except ourselves, but we can have a strong mind, strong bones, strong muscles, a fast metabolism and a lean body in as little as 40 seconds a day for our sprint training and 3 minutes a week for our strength training. I don't think that time can be an excuse. So we can be lean, strong and young for the rest of our lives, or we can be fat, weak and old. And as women, we get to choose.